flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
Glad to hear that the linebacker position's getting some love.
Yeah.
Practice reports.
A lot of things on defense need to get better.
Oh, yeah, they do. But in this conference, if you're figuring out the other side of the ball, it doesn't have to get that much better.
No.
It doesn't have to get crazy better.
Oh, God, here we go. It's like you're the Chamber of Commerce for the DCs in the league that have
I'm trying
to change how everyone looks at what's good and what's not.
Look,
why don't you do something upstairs?
Chad and Kevin.
I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports, The Horn, 1049, AM 1260, and hornfm.com.
Afternoon delight.
Perception of reality, that was thriller. And can I really trust that man in the mirror? The dustbin of the human mind gets
never. How about hour number two on a Thursday? Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Ellings in San Antonio enjoying some Final Four stuff. Trey and Brad interviewed a lot of good folks today. They're going to do that again tomorrow, so be sure to tune in 10 to 1 tomorrow. Thanks to Brian for producing for us today and tomorrow as we get you through the end of the week, get you ready for the Final Four. And as of today, we get you into baseball season. That's right. Opening day in and around baseball.
I got great news we have to start off with.
Well, go ahead.
You're going to hate this, aren't you? You're going to hate Wags for getting me into this, aren't you?
Probably, yeah.
And this is not because he's wearing his Orioles hat. Twins Orioles scoreless going to the bottom of the seventh. Why is that good news? Why is that good news, Chad?
Because it has something to do with your new fantasy team and one of your pitchers. Because
I got Dylan Bundy late, and Bundy is sitting him down. 7 innings, 7 Ks. There you go, baby.
There it is.
Hit shutout.
Also, Astros and Rangers going right now. Justin Verlander working on a nice one. He's up 3-0 now. It started with George Springer and a leadoff home run. Kevin, earlier you talked about how numbers-oriented baseball can be. How about this one? According to the Elias Sports Bureau, it was the first leadoff home run for a defending World Series champion. I'm going to let that soak in for a second.
Yep.
No member of a World Series champion has ever had a leadoff homer on opening day the following year. Until now. George Springer.
I don't know if that's miraculous or not. It's just, it just shows
either.
You how many baseball numbers there are.
It's just wild. Also, it says he is the only player ever to hit a leadoff home run on opening day in consecutive years. He did it because he did it last year.
Last year.
That's
He's
pretty
got
cool.
that in him. He's got that. There's a Ricky Henderson electric leadoff feel to him.
And kids.
Some may say Ian Happ had that.
Ian Happ took the first pitch out for the Cubs today, if you missed that one. That was a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Today it was a 2-0 Cole Hamels 90-mile-an-hour two-seam fastball that George Springer sent the other way. 3-0 Astros. We won't do this every day in baseball season, obviously, but it's
not.
But it's
opening day.
It's opening day. Yankees up 2-0 in the top of the fourth on Toronto.
If you want to, Chad.
I am told that Giancarlo Stanton hit a homer in his first at-bat as a Yankee, so Yankees fans will be thrilled about that. Boston's up 3-0 on Tampa in the fourth inning. Philadelphia up on Atlanta, top of the fourth. That is a 1-0 game. And as we mentioned, there are now a couple finals. Chicago beat Miami. Cubs win 8-4. And the Mets beat the Cardinals. Look at there. Kevin's real happy. Cubs win. Cardinals lose. Good day for you all the way around. 9-4 Mets. Look at you.
And it's like we're all little kids. We sport our team. On opening day, I saw a guy who was outside working on the parking lot, doing a good job, and he had a Cardinals hat, and he saw my shirt, and he kind of smiled, you know. I go, good luck this year.
You know, I totally forgot to wear team stuff today.
You of all people.
I really probably should have. You know, in the first week or so.
I didn't earlier. I ended up changing, and I thought, I'm wearing my Cubs gear in there. I figured we're going to Cubs and Braves it off, and you didn't wear it today. But I'm curious. You guys, you and the White Sox are going to be fun to watch because it's – Is it too soon or not?
Yeah, I hope they're fun to watch. I hope it's going to be good. They lose or losing that first game today in the fourth. So we'll keep you up to date on the Rangers and the Astros. Verlander looking good so far. No big shock there. We're good with Jeff? Okay, let's go to the Vaqueros hotline and talk with Jeff Howe.
Jeff's watching this anyway.
24, that's true. 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports. Speaking of the Astros, Astros fan Jeff Howe, how are you?
You're dadgum right. Justin Verlander's looking good on opening day.
Yes, he is. He's being the horse you need him to be in day one.
Hey, Jeff, how different is this? And I know a little bit how it feels being a Cubs fan. How different is it heading into this opening day compared to maybe 2 or 3 years ago when you're rebuilding?
You mean that you actually have something to look forward to and coming off a World Series championship as opposed to just preparing yourself for a triple-digit lost season? Yeah. Feels pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the difference between a bachelor party in Vegas versus a funeral. I mean, it's that type of difference.
I did wake up from my bachelor party with my pants missing and the cops at the door, so that was almost like a funeral.
Okay. That sounds fun.
That's a story we got to get you to tell sometime.
Yes, we do.
Not on the air, obviously, but it's just some point.
It's like a Hornbash story.
It really does. That's good. Be sure you're coming to Hornbash. All right, so Jeff, in terms of the Longhorns, let's go pro day yesterday. I'm looking at a 7-round mock draft today that has everybody, you know, kind of slotted where they're going to go. Do you think anybody really helped themselves out? Of the guys that are going to get drafted, was there any big help, or did you feel like all the scouts left thinking, yeah, that guy's about who I thought he was?
You know, I talked to Mike Mayock for a little bit about this because he was out there yesterday. I wanted to pick his brain a little bit. And, you know, I heard the tail end of you guys talking about Connor Williams, and Rod and I talked about it today. We recorded our Longhorn Blitz podcast. And, you know, Rod and I are kind of in the same boat with Mike Mayock on Connor Williams. Like, teams might not know what he is, but you're getting a guy who's pretty dang versatile. And you look at what he did yesterday. I mean, it's hard to imagine an offensive lineman having a better on-field workout than he had yesterday. Did stuff that mimic movements and drills from the right side of the offensive line, the left side of the offensive line, guard, tackle. He was pulling a little bit on bag drills, did some shotgun snaps. So, you know, when you look at Connor Williams, and yeah, he's sliding down the board a little bit because I don't know if teams see him as that prototypical left tackle, Kevin, like you mentioned earlier, but you know, you start to look at where he could go, and you look at a team like the Patriots down at the bottom of the first round, and you lose Nate Solder, you lose Cameron Fleming, so you need tackles. But you talk about coach and Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick understands better than a lot of coaches, which is why I don't understand why more NFL coaches don't view it this way. He understands versatility and to be able to use guys. Okay, this guy can be a safety corner and nickel. I can use this guy as a slot on outside guy. This guy's not just a third down back. He's an every down back. I can use him in different ways. And I think Connor Williams is that kind of guy where, you know, especially in this day and age with the salary cap the way it is, and maybe you can't carry as many offensive linemen as you want him, to be able to have a guy that can plug in at virtually any position on the offensive line, that guy brings a lot of value to your roster. So I think, in my mind, he actually helped himself yesterday. I think for the most part, the other guys, you know, Malik Jefferson, Holton Hill, Deshaun Elliott, those guys that are surefire draft picks, I don't think they did anything that hurt themselves yesterday. And then Puna Ford, I feel like Puna Ford now, if he doesn't get drafted, it's just a damn shame with the workout that he had yesterday. Not just the testing numbers, but, you know, watching him kind of move around. And I think he showed at the Senior Bowl that he's got the ability to maybe not necessarily be an Aaron Donald-type rush guy from the inside, but at least be a disruptor. And I think that's what you're really looking for from interior linemen nowadays. You know, you think about a few years ago, a guy coming out of Alabama like Tank Cody, those guys are a dying breed, and you need guys that are active in there and can be disruptive, and I think that's Puna Ford. So I think Connor Williams, in my mind anyway, stock is up. I think it's holding steady for those other draft guys, and I think Puna Ford now has put himself in a position to where it's going to be a crime if he doesn't get drafted.
Jeff, I haven't heard. I agree with you on Puna, and hopefully some of those NFL guys are aware, and all it takes is one, and it'll be a steal for them late. It'll be end up looking really good, because I think all of us are on the same boat that this guy's probably going to be a pretty good NFL player. Holton Hill has all the skills to do that. What are you hearing? Because there's no other Texas player that I've heard the wide range of where he may go. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I've heard Kevin kind of fourth, fifth round, and I think when you look at just the physical gifts, you know, he's kind of what you're looking for in a corner skill set in the NFL right now. A guy that, you know, when guys are valuing length. And I know Pete Carroll had kind of the formula a few years ago when I think Rex Ryan, a couple other guys subscribed to this. You know, length can make up for X amount of time on the 40-yard dash. If you got a guy that's got a certain wingspan and this skill set, you don't need a 4-4 guy at corner per se. Now, I think that's Holton Hill. That's how you draw him up. I think the big thing for him, Kevin, it's going to come down to what were the interviews like, and does an NFL franchise feel like he's mature enough to go in as a rookie and really handle his business, because he didn't do that all the time at Texas after serving what really, to me, and in my time covering the program and following it and probably till I'm done doing it, will be the weirdest 7-game suspension ever in 2016, where he was active for one, then not there, and then he was there, and then he wasn't. And then obviously the suspension at the end of last year for the team rules violation. So I think it's fourth or fifth round for Holton Hill. I could actually maybe see him going a little bit earlier, because I can see somebody really with the right scheme fit could really fall in love with him with that skill set and feel like they got a value corner in the middle part of the draft.
Talking with Jeff Howe, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports. If you're on Twitter, at Jeff Howe 247, a great follow there. So, Jeff, let's take the usual suspects out. Obviously, Connor Malik, Elliott Hill, throw in the punter and Puna. Those six guys, that would leave, I think, 10 other guys that were there at Pro Day yesterday. From that other group of guys, in talking to the Mayocks and anybody else that was there covering it, did you get a sense of anybody saying, hey, you know what? That guy might get a shot. That guy could be an undrafted free agent type of guy. Anybody else getting, a little love?
Yeah, Nayshon Hughes got a little bit of love. It's just, you know, and I love Nayshon Hughes as a guy, but, you know, you talk about a guy that got all kinds of opportunities to show out and be a productive player at Texas, and not that he wasn't a productive player, but, you know, three different staffs, when they first got him on campus and got him in pads, thought they really had something special, and it just never materialized. So I could see a team looking at Nayshon Hughes as a priority free agent and just wanting to get him in camp to see what he does. Antuan Davis, obviously, you know, 28 reps on the bench, you know, anywhere from a low 4.4 to a high 4.3 in the 40, which isn't a big surprise. And I think the fact that he put good tape out late in the senior year playing that nickel position. He's played corner, hasn't played safety, so can he make that transition? Special teams guys, again, you know, it's not like the back in the day with the Benny Thompsons or the Renee Thompsons or the Steve Taskers, where you can have a lot of those guys on your roster. You've got to have special teams guys that can fill a role defensively or offensively or wherever you've got them. So I think Antuan Davis got himself looking. And I think it's going to be hard for Jason Hull, just because it's going to take the right team that uses that hybrid linebacker safety skill set in their scheme. But you look at Jason Hull at 230 pounds, broad jump 10-10, ran in the mid to low 4.5 range, again, at over 230 pounds. If I'm a team that uses that, I think the Cardinals are one team with Dan Buchanan that they use that position. So if you're looking for a guy to be kind of your hybrid guy defensively, and you know Jason Hull is willing to throw his body around on special teams, I could really see him getting a look after the workout he had yesterday.
Jeff, what are we hearing about spring ball? Who's standing out, and what have you heard since the last time we talked?
Yeah, you know, going in that practice on Tuesday, I've heard a couple people say, well, you know, it didn't look like Tom Herman was all that thrilled with practice. No, he wasn't happy after practice on Tuesday. And, you know, the last play we saw before our open window ended on Tuesday was the first play of inside hole drill. And Tennille Carter put the ball on the ground, and that was a practice where up until that point he'd been running as the number one running back. And that, to me, Kevin, that's as big a concern to me, honestly, as the quarterback position. I think that those are the two positions that, obviously, you know, quarterbacks got to get right. But I don't think enough was made last year about the lack of production at the running back position. We saw it from Danny Young late once he got more reps. But Tennille Carter is kind of a frustrating guy, because I think if you look at all the guys in that room, he's probably the most talented guy, the most physically gifted guy. But even going back to last spring, he's had a problem holding on to the football. And when you look at their productivity in the run game last year, granted, the offensive line had a lot to do with that, the issues that group had. But, you know, Sam Ellinger was their leading rusher, 385 yards. That's the lowest output for a Texas leading rusher since 1958. I don't know if anybody's caught on to that, but
wow.
You go way back in the record books to find out the last time it was that putrid in terms of a leading rusher. So that's a position that's got to get better. and you'd like to see it. You would hope it would be Tony Carter or Danny Young that way. And not, and, you know, running back's one of those positions where typically a younger guy, if they're good enough, can handle playing it right out of the gate. But you'd hope to not be overly reliant on Keontae Ingram the minute he steps on campus. Outside of that, you know, I know the defense had stretches on Tuesday where the offense was able to move the ball up and down the field, but gosh, you look at this defensive line, Kevin, and not just the first group of guys, the Charles Amenahus and the Brecken Hagers, but you start looking at Taquan Graham and Marquez Bimage, even the guys that we haven't seen much of, you know, a guy like Andrew Fitzgerald. This is the most athletic defensive line Texas has had since I don't even remember when. And you've got guys that have got versatility. You can see how they can move between three-man fronts and four-man fronts and be more versatile and maybe do more of the things with that front that Todd Orlando wants to do that he did at Houston. So I think the defensive line's really standing out. And, you know, I said this with Bucky and Aaron this morning, whether you're talking about Brennan Eagles, you're talking about the young quarterbacks, those young guys in the secondary, Deli Adaway, who looks like $1 million getting off the bus. When you look at the young talent coming into this program and the way this staff is recruiting, and it's one thing to see these guys in a high school game. It's one thing to see these guys, you know, in an all-star game like the U.S. Army game. But when you put these guys on a college field and you're watching Anthony Cook go through drills with the other corners or B.J. Foster and Caden Stearns go through drills with the other safeties, and you see the caliber of athlete this staff's bringing in the program, you can see a path where in the not-too-distant future, the talented depth at every position from top to bottom is going to look like what people expect it to look like in Texas. It's not going to get solved with just this one recruiting class. They're going to have to stack another couple classes on top of it. But you can start to see that this staff knows how to evaluate. They know what they're looking for. And with the player development element now no longer being a question like it has around here for so long, I'm seeing a path. There's a light at the end of the tunnel for this roster to get turned over and look the way people expect the Texas roster to look.
Jeff, obviously a fan can walk out of a spring game and be upset about everything because it's their team against their team. But do you think Texas fans will walk out April 21st, the ones that really know football, and be happy about this defense? Is that what is going to stand out to them, that, hey, we've got a defense that can really go disrupt the Big 12?
I think so, because, well, part of that is if the disappointment as well, they gave up this play and this play and this play. Well, that's because a lot of the guys that made that defense successful were working out for NFL scouts yesterday. And another takeaway I had from Pro Day is, gosh, you look at Deshaun Elliott and Holton Hill, Malik Jefferson, and you look at them working out for scouts, and you see, gosh, what if this guy had another year, not just in this scheme, but in this program with Nancy McKnight and that strength staff? What could they look like a year from now getting ready for the NFL? It's scary to think about. But, you know, I've said this before, guys, and I'll say it again. I think with the way Todd Orlando, just watching him run a practice, and, Kevin, you've been to enough practices around here to know that there's been times where it hasn't always been organized and it doesn't look like they're getting much out of the stuff they're doing. I don't know that maybe other than Muschamp, I don't know that I've seen – a defensive coordinator get as much out of drill work, every drill, every period from start to finish, the way Todd Orlando does. And you look at that, just the effort, the attention to detail, and then the scheme. I think Texas, and that was another thing talking to Mike Mayock yesterday, he said one of the things when he was breaking down these quarterbacks for the draft and he looked at Sam Darnold and then Baker Mayfield and then Mason Rudolph, basically watching the Texas tape on those guys back to back to back, he sees Texas doing some really interesting, innovative things defensively. So he feels like, and I feel like, and I think a lot of Texas fans feel like, in terms of scheme, a guy that understands the conference and what works, Texas is in good hands with Todd Orlando. And while this defense, I think, is going to take a step back in some way, shape, or form from last year, I don't think people are going to have to worry about it falling off a cliff like it did in year two for Manny Diaz or Vance Bedford.
Jeff, you show your age, my man. You never went to a Gary Darnell defense. You want to see one that's tightly run, my man. That's it.
Oh, baby.
Gary Darnell. It was. No, you're right. I mean, it's a different thing.
I try not to think that far back, Kevin, because then I think about the Bobby Jack Wright defense in 97 and my nightmares come back. So I try not to go back that far.
Well, at least Bobby Jack was just trying to run 4-3 coverage. He was trying to run what Leon Fuller ran. He just had Jerry Faust player personnel issues by putting Aaron Humphrey at middle linebacker.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Aaron Humphrey, Mike Backer, enough of that.
Yeah, no. UCLA had fun with that on the wheel route. All right, one last thing here. Texas basketball, kind of put a close on it. What are your thoughts? And also, how are you feeling about the future of this program?
You know, this attrition was expected. It's been, you know, we talked about Jacob Young, I think last week was when that went down. And then, you know, I'd been hearing about James Banks kind of been on his way out for a few months now. Eric Davis, I'm not sure he really had a choice with the way that investigation's going. I guess with the state of Texas getting involved with it now, which is kind of bizarre. But, you know, you can look at it from one or two ways, Kevin. You can look at it and say, man, this is unfortunate. Shaka Smart can't catch a break. But for me, I look at it and say, okay, going into year four, if the roster isn't the way you want it to be, that's your fault. And you look at that 2016 recruiting class, if you don't get Andrew Jones back next year, you're going to have nothing to speak of out of that class next year, going into what should be the third year with that group. And it's just I've been shocked at times. And I know, look, I know people are going to count on us. Well, they got Andrew Jones and they signed Mo Bamba and Jared Allen and whatever, but I'm surprised that they haven't recruited better in terms of getting program guys that can stick here and you can build some kind of foundation with those guys. And so, I mean, yeah, you can look at it and say it's unfortunate and, you know, hey, how can you fault Shaka Smart for this, that, and the other? But going into year four, if the roster's not the way you like it, it's kind of your fault at that point. So I'm interested to see what this thing looks like once this team gets together during the summer. But yeah, I don't. And here's the other thing, Kevin, this is kind of reminding me of where things got at the end of the Rick Barnes era in terms of it feels like your program is maybe keeping afloat or probably on the decline at a time where the in-state talent is about to be at an elite level. And you start looking at that 2020 recruiting class when you've got guys like RJ Hampton and Greg Brown, is it going to be a situation with Shaka like where Rick was, when you've got guys like Justin Jackson and Justice Winslow and Julius Randle, and those guys don't end up considering Texas, and I know Randle did, but you end up going to a North Carolina or a Kentucky, are you going to be in that position where you kind of miss your window to cash in on elite talent in the state because you didn't handle your business your first few years in the program? That's what you've got to think about going forward in terms of where this thing is going with Shaka Smart.
Good point.
Interesting thoughts. Jeff Howe, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports. Go to @JeffHowe247 on Twitter if you want to give him a follow. Jeff, we always appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of this Rangers-Astros game. I think it's going to go your way. Thank you, sir.
Anytime, fellas.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bottom 6, 3-0 Houston. Justin Verlander still looking like Justin Verlander so far in this game. We'll get you an update on that one, some of the other baseball stuff as we go along, too.
And they were talking about it. Kirchin and that crew is good crew. Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez. I like that crew. And they were just talking about the difference. They had been talking to Poppy. One of them mentioned talking to Lance Berkman. And their last couple years in the league, guys are just coming out of the pen. No-name guys. You never heard of them. And they're gassing up 97, 98. And it's easy to look at that and go, okay, these guys are obviously on something. A lot of that is how they've been used as specialists now. And some of that's just the different arms that we're getting. We're getting arms from all over the world.
It's true. Internet.
And they're in.
Yeah, world-class arms, literally.
Third of Major League Baseball speaks Spanish.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's a good number.
And Kirchin took French in high school. He was like, it was such a dumb move. Oh, I had no idea.
So, yeah, should have gone the other way there. All right, Big Three coming up on the Horn. Chad and Kevin with you. I can always count on Brian when he produces to get a little metal on us. Trey never really goes heavy metal route, but Brian just walks in and starts jamming some Dio for us. Any particular reason?
For you.
For me? There you go. See? He just
Who's
knows.
This?
This would be Ronnie James Dio.
Dio?
Dio, yeah. Was a...
Is that a band? Is that a guy?
It's both.
Okay.
Technically, it's both. Yeah, Ronnie James. Now the late Ronnie James Dio.
What'd you do?
He is. I didn't do a thing. I would never dream of killing Dio. He was the second lead singer of Black Sabbath after Ozzy.
And that's right up your alley, right?
Had his own solo career, got a great distinctive voice, and pretty much invented the heavy metal devil horns, longhorn hand sign, if you will, at a concert. He pretty much invented it.
He's the one we got to sue.
Because his Italian grandmother used to do that to ward off evil spirits.
Ah.
So he started doing it on stage.
That's how that started?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I think
you would know that.
I think Gene Simmons tries to take credit for it, but Gene Simmons tries to take credit for everything.
Yeah, he tried to trademark.
Of course he did. He's Gene Simmons. Of course he tried. We all believe it's Ronnie James Dio.
Gene Simmons is more of a business and marketing guy than a musician, isn't he? Is that fair?
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. Yes.
I mean, I know that that's me saying it, so it probably just came to me when y'all have known it for 20 years, but that seems to be the case, right?
Oh, you're right. Absolutely. Okay. Everybody realizes that at a different point in their life. I realized it when I was thumbing through a catalog and saw a Kiss coffin, but yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly the case. All right, let's get you updated on the world of sports, including the man that will single-handedly take over the NFL draft. Here we go. Big Three time, ladies and gentlemen.
The Big Three.
And it's brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist, 601-0303, or sinussnoringent.com.
When do they get me in?
We got to get you in there. Got to get taken care of. Shaquem Griffin's going to the draft. They're inviting him.
Cool.
He's going to go. And I'm seeing him, Kevin, in this seven-round mock, going to Jacksonville at 61. So that's second.
You better get a hand when he shows up.
Darn right. That second round, Jacksonville, Shaquem Griffin will go. He says he's got the country behind him, and he can't wait to get there. He's definitely going to be a guy that we'll know. If they put him in the green room, we know he's going to be there a while. So it's not like anybody has a lot of pressure there, but it's going to be cool to have him at the Cowboys Stadium and have everybody loving on him.
I'm going to guess that of all the kids there, this isn't fair because I haven't met all of them, but this is just a guess heading into it, that he's going to be the one who could probably deal with it the best because he has the best perspective on life.
Yes.
Sorry
about
of
that. Course.
Probably unfair.
But he knows. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
That's the other thing. He knows. He understands. He just wants to be a part of the process, which I think says a lot about him.
If you turn to Aaron Rodgers as he walks into that draft and say, hey, Aaron, you're probably going around 60.
Yeah.
He punches you in the mouth.
Right.
Right? I mean, there's no way. There's absolutely no way that would have happened. So that is going to happen at the draft. Can't wait for that. So good for him. We also talking some draft as we get ready because it is coming up pretty quickly. I got a 7-round mock. We'll talk about where the Longhorns are going in this mock draft just to give you a little taste there. How about Connor Williams to the champs, to the Eagles at 32 in this 7-round mock draft. And then Malik Jefferson, 2nd round, 42nd overall to the Dolphins, according to this mock draft. And so we've heard mostly on Malik Jefferson that he will be a second-day guy.
We'll have Vita Vea ahead of him.
But there's no...
in front of him?
Yes, if that all goes down the way we've seen.
He'll be on the outside, though. Yeah, he just needs to have someone that can really utilize his strengths and being run at is not one of his strengths. Running is.
We will get into this mock draft deeper, but I'm a little concerned. They've got my Cowboys in this mock draft taking somebody at 19, and then Vita Vea goes at 20. And if that happens in real life, I might cry.
Is Vita slipping?
Vita Vea to 20, Cowboys getting somebody else at 19. We'll get into all of that as we go along. A lot of baseball today. Opening day, Cubs have already won 8-4. The Cardinals lost, so Kevin, we cannot get the smile off of his face today.
We've already gotten our good mix of texters. A lot of them saying, thanks for actually talking baseball. Some saying, can we get back to real sports? Come on, real sports. Easy there. Let's not treat this like some things that we... You can say you don't like baseball, but...
Yeah, right.
Be an idiot.
Hopefully we're not going down to that particular thing. The Rangers and Astros game going on right now. Verlander off to a great start. Bottom six, and there it is still 3-0 Astros. Rangers do have a few hits, but they've been scattered around, and they have not gotten a run across yet. We'll keep you updated on that. It's over on 101.9 and 1260 if you want to check it out. Texas baseball at Kansas State. They've started 5-1 in conference, have the Longhorns, and K-State has gone 0-3 to start. So even though it's on the road, Kevin, this is a series Texas needs to win.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to win if you believe in such things.
Right. The Big 12, it is down this year. I mean, it's really down this year in baseball. And the SEC is loaded. But even with that said, this is still a series. And I was about to say, well, you got to really take care of the early part of your schedule. And that's true. But I'm not sure any part of the schedule is going to be too tough. The toughest part, obviously, is going to be an offseason if it comes together. I mean, you would think Tech, but Tech has lost some pitchers. They're not the same, including a first-round lefty. TCU has not been as good as I thought they'd be. Both those teams are still going to be really tough. Craig talked about it. Oklahoma actually has a pretty good team this year. So there's a chance for Texas to really make a run at this thing, and taking care of games in Manhattan would be is a good continuation, not a start, continuation.
Before we get to one and done, somebody did text earlier. Now, we had a blitzer today that said, it was asking the question, if I'm taking testosterone and the boys are hurting, is that a bad thing? Someone texted in, that's not normal. I take testosterone biweekly. So if you're still out there, sir, you got to get that checked out. Just like we said in the blitz.
Right.
It sounded like something you need to get checked out. Go get that checked out. They should not be hurting. All right. So there's your medical, brief medical break there. Now let's get you a one and done here in the 4 o'clock hour. One and done time, kids.
Peter liked to be
one and
with me.
Done.
It's cold in Manhattan. Cold for now, at least.
What do you say, 40 degrees?
Yeah, 43, which in December you can deal with, but really?
It's gotta be chilly.
It's one part of living in a cold climate. I don't mind it. I actually don't mind it when it should be cold. But it's like, shouldn't spring be coming now?
Yeah, it should be. But
you get those long winters.
Yeah, for them, it's not until you get into May, probably.
Right, their long winters are the equivalent of our long summers.
That's it. Yeah, it's a little too much of it. I know one thing. There's probably baseball on right now over at Texas Card House. One and done brought to you by Texas Card House. They'll be running the poker tournament both Friday night and Saturday night for Horn Bash. So go to hornfm.com, get your Horn Bash wristbands, and check them out at texascardhouse.com. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Good to have baseball back. I do want to talk some NFL draft stuff during this one and done, but look at your Rangers fans. It does show you, Chad, that if the weather's okay, you guys, Dallas is a good baseball city, and you guys will show up. Same thing with Houston. You need a good team, but you don't even really have a great team. It's something about opening day, getting out there, and there's probably pretty good weather. It looks like pretty good weather there.
Yeah, because there are games that when the sun is shining in Arlington that if you go to the game, you could die.
You could die.
So they know that, and they're really enjoying today.
I just think about that, though, because we've seen playoff games. We've seen games where they're still in it, and it's just 110 degrees outside, and there's a crowd, but not probably what it should be or what it could be. And the Astros were smart. They can obviously cover that up, and their climate even tougher than yours, where they knew they had to have some type of roof, because as much as it is, it's nice. And it's really nice to see baseball in an open field, right?
Oh, it's incredible. There's
something different about that. If you can do both with technology, which I know the Rangers are planning that. I don't know if you've looked at the works, what they have in for the works.
I have not.
It's going to be there's a little Jerry element to it. But it looks like it'd be kind of what Houston has, where you have one of those retractable roofs that really, when it retracts, it does make it feel like an open ballpark.
Yep.
And Miami, one of the first things Derek Jeter did was move out. The left field was kind of encased in glass.
Yeah.
He took all that down so you can see the Miami skyline and you get some sunlight in there. San Diego, L.A., Miami, you guys during the day, you should have sunglasses on playing baseball.
I had no idea that was Miami earlier. I knew in my head that that's where the Cubs were starting the season, but it didn't register that, oh, that's that same stadium. Like, they've really changed it.
So, yeah, I wanted to get that in before we talk some NFL draft stuff, because I have noticed some of the shots. This is a director's dream, because there's a lot of people there. A lot of that has to do with opening day. A lot of it has to do with the weather, though. And if you guys were in contention, and you probably will be in 4 or 5 years whenever you do the whole rebuilding thing, you want to make sure that when you open that thing up, that obviously you can have days where the state of Texas is just not going to give you the weather, but you take care of it because you got a roof. You're heading there. You're getting there. It's going to be frustrating until you get there, because you're going to see those days.
Yep. It's going to cost a ton of money, but eventually they'll get there.
Yeah, it will. Also, NFL draft stuff. Who else did you have? Oh, we had Christian Kirk. Someone asked about that. And then was Puna in there or not?
He is. The Puna Ford is seventh round in this draft.
Okay, then try.
232 overall to the Packers. So right at the end of the draft.
That makes sense.
Still getting drafted. Michael Dixon, sixth round to the Texans, according to this mock. And to get the other Longhorns, Deshaun Elliott, third round.
Is there going to be a run on punters?
To Arizona, I don't know. Fourth round for Holton Hill to the Cowboys. Doesn't that fit in some way?
That makes complete sense.
Jerry overlooking some things.
Why do I feel that that Holton Hill is going to go in the third or fourth round?
To the Cowboys.
Probably, well, to a team like that.
Take a look. The answer to the Christian Kirk thing, I'm seeing second round, just into the second round, 39th pick overall to the Bears.
That'd be a good pick, and that would also be, that'd be a great pick for Mitch.
Yes, right. They're trying to find guys.
They're trying to help him out.
They already helped him out with, is it Allen Robinson?
Yeah.
I believe that's it. Yeah, Christian Kirk, you've talked about these guys that could slip into the second round.
I love Kirk.
Still be considered that first round. He's a first round guy for you.
To me, he is, yes.
Wherever he gets drafted.
Yeah, I think he's going to be, I don't know if he's a number one, but God, I think he's going to be a good number two. There's some versatility to him if they keep special teams in the game for the next couple of years.
Yes, as long as they have it. As long as they have kickoffs, he could be good. And I don't sense, I don't know.
Maybe that's why Dixon went.
Maybe. Because he knows they're getting rid of kicks, but they'll still have punts?
No, but they may not have punts.
He thinks they may get rid of punts too? Oh, I see what you're saying. Just get in while you can.
they may only have 7 years left of punting.
Yeah, I guess you might. I do like the idea of Houston grabbing him, getting the heir apparent. If you think he's that good, then let him learn from maybe the best ever in Leckler on his way out.
Oh, I've got no problem with, instead of signing him as a free agent and having to go through that rat race, if you've got enough of them, take them late, sixth or seventh round. And for a guy like that, if you could not worry about a punter for 20 years.
Right. My God.
Or 25 years, which that'd be the combination.
Think Shane Leckler could teach him anything?
I don't think he needs to be taught anything, man.
Maybe they don't.
And that's nothing against Shane. I mean, do you as a punter? I mean, aren't you kind of there? Maybe there's a couple things.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's some work ethic stuff you learn in the NFL.
But he looked like he was kind of getting everything down. Drop kicks.
Oh, yeah.
If you got a boom one, he can boom one.
The MVP of a bowl game, and nobody really laughed.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that didn't vote for him were the ones that just couldn't.
Yeah.
They just couldn't out of principle. But deep down, they knew he was the guy.
Were you there?
Uh-huh.
That's right. You were there.
I was there. I voted for him proudly. Mm-hmm. I wrote it in there. I wrote it in there way before that game was over. And
right.
Handed it to somebody, and somebody yells at me from down the row. Hey, I can't have Michael Dixon be the MVP, can I? And I said, well, what if he is? And they just kind of looked back at me and like, I can't do it, man. I can't do it. And they wrote somebody else.
That's right. Chad was still thawing out because they had the weather they have in Manhattan, Kansas here. 43.
That's right.
It was colder than that.
It was damn cold. Damn cold. Yeah, we'll go over some more of this seven-round mock draft, including who they have the Cowboys taking at 19. It is not a defensive player.
Who do they have my Niners taking?
Your Niners at 9? Let me pull that up for you, because that is one I have not committed to memory.
That's disappointing.
Well, it is.
It's not surprising, but it is disappointing.
Once I saw Quentin Nelson to the Bucks, I just totally forgot
happy.
About whatever happens after that. It is not. There it is.
Derwin James, if he's available.
How about, well, you got the position.
Ohio State DB.
You got the.
Denzel.
You got the position just about right. How about Minka?
Ooh, I'll take Minka there.
Take that?
Yes, sir.
Got Minka Fitzpatrick going 9. Denzel Ward going 12th, and wow, Derwin James is not in there. There he is. Sorry. Derwin James, Redskins, 13.
Okay.
So all three of those guys would be gone by the 14th pick.
I like Minka and Derwin like the most out of them.
I do, too. I like Derwin a lot.
Derwin's got the skill set to be the freakiest of all of them.
And he's sliding down that draft a little bit. Speaking of talent that's getting pushed down a little bit by some quarterback freaking out. Derwin James, I saw him.
He just has to stay healthy.
I saw him up in that 5, 6, 7 range earlier. So, he's just going to kind of go down a little bit. But still, getting a guy like that at 13 in the draft, there's value there.
Oh, yeah.
As good as he could be.
Well, you know, Florida State overplayed it a little bit too much this year. It's like how Texas may have Jake McKenzie play every position this year in a game. I mean,
right.
There's a little Tebow AA element to it. But you got a lot of games, so deal with it, Chad. Don't give me that look.
What are they playing AA? 140? 150?
I don't know.
They play a few.
I don't know how many they do.
They got to sell lots of tickets, man.
Right.
Yeah, that's why.
So Derwin didn't play that many positions, but he does give you a lot of. I mean, I'm not going to line him up at defensive end like they were talking about. But,
oh, no. Yeah,
but.
No.
But he can play a lot of different spots.
He got lost because of that injury. Remember, he got injured during the season they were televising at Florida State.
Right.
kind of got forgotten about, and then last year sort of got, you know, got himself back into the
Florida good, State got forgotten about
the good graces. Then the team, right? The team went away too. All right, coming up, we'll get a little midday hangover. See what our man Brian's got going on today. Remind you about some things going on the station, and we'll continue to talk about this 7-round mock draft that we're taking a look at today. That has Connor Williams going to the Eagles. If you're a Texas fan that wants your guys to go to meaningful teams, that'd be awesome. If Connor Williams ends up there, or maybe it's the Patriots, the pick before. We'll talk more mock draft stuff as we move along here on the Horn. All right, running super late here on this hour, so just a quick little in and out here for you before the 5 o'clock hour. Coming up, we will take a look closer at this 7-round mock draft. Who do the Cowboys take in this mock draft? We'll get into that, where all the Longhorns are ending up going. Plus, it's opening day in baseball. Astros handling the Rangers so far. We'll get you an update on that as well. Coming up on the Horn.